as we turn our hearts to God. This past Friday night, I had the most unusual experience, something I had never really experienced before. I had the privilege of going to a Thanksgiving dinner. Now, obviously, this is June. Thanksgiving happens a lot later in the year. But it wasn't governed by a holiday declared by government. It was governed by a spirit declared by a young lady who wanted to acknowledge in gratitude to God what only He could do. This young lady had been involved in a tragic accident in which she had suffered the possibility of losing a leg in the midst of it. Thankfully, she didn't. But at this dinner, she's the daughter of one of my dear friends who certainly has accomplished a lot in life. But at this dinner, the thing that mesmerized my attention was the focus the young lady had on what only Jesus can do and the gratitude she had in her heart for what only those who love her could do. As we sat there at that dinner, my mind raced to exactly what we'd be looking at today. Because today we look at something that is quite profound in God's Word. During this entire season of springtime heading into summer, we've been looking at curves in the road of life. Those things that come at us in different ways that we have to deal with. And today we look at an amazing story because it ties into the very thing that my Friday night experience evidenced. Today we look at what it means to be blessed by accomplishments, but measured by true success. That is the focus of this message, because the reality is, if we took the time to acknowledge the accolades of his accomplishments by way of career and other things, we could focus in on the different things that had transpired. But on Friday night, when tears welled up in his eyes, and I looked into his eyes and I saw, here is a man who understands true success. It was in that moment that everything I was going to do today came together. And so for that dad, how I thank God that he stood beside his child in the midst of heartache and difficulty. And how I thank God for a daughter who realized something, that sometimes it just makes sense to say thanks. And we live in a day where ingratitude seems to be a way of life. But when someone begins to reflect thankfulness, they begin to reflect what the Bible says, because to give thanks is the will of God. Today we find ourselves in an unusual part of the Scripture, because we find ourselves in a book of the Bible you may have to look for a moment. It's in the Old Testament. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. As you turn there, turn if you would to the third chapter. And as you're turning, realize that this is the story of a man whose accomplishments were second to none in the world. In fact, the wisest man who ever lived wrote these words. But by the time he writes these words, his accomplishments are absolutely useless because he has failed. And we live in a day where we need to measure and look at our hearts and lives, not centered in just our accomplishments, but our true success. And today, how thankful I am that there are men who understand that your real success will never be measured by the balance of your checkbook or by the status that you have in society. Your real success will always be measured by your heart. And so what happens in Ecclesiastes, here's a story of a man who had two choices in life. He could chase the wind, or he could change the world. And what I want you to see today is this. Every man must make the same choice. Will they chase the wind, or will they change the world? How I thank God that there are men in this fellowship who understand that our responsibility is to center our hearts in changing the world. And listen carefully. How do we change the world the quickest and the fastest? By impacting the lives of those closest to us, those that mean the most to us in our life. And so today, as you find yourself in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 1, and it's a familiar passage perhaps that you are quite familiar with, but notice what Solomon says. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And he goes on to talk about a time to give birth, a time to die, and he goes through all the different times. And even in verse 5, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. But look on down at verse 11. He's made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks and sees good in all his labor is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has worked that men should fear him. That which has been already and that which has been already seen, for God seeks what has passed by. When you get in this passage, you realize something very quickly, that here is a text that grabs hold of us having to ask ourselves two of the most important questions we'll ever ask. Two things that we have to think about, because I want to ask you this. When you think about your own life, what is your greatest accomplishment? What is it that stands out to you the most? Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes we look at how to measure what we're about, and that success goes the wrong direction. We focus the wrong way. I'll never forget, I learned this as a young man in the first church that I was a pastor in. The church had 16,000 members. It was a fabulous church. And I'll never forget, one day, one of the seasoned old associate pastors walked up to me, and he said, he looked at me, and this is before we ever had children. He looked at me and he said, "Son, remember this. Your children will never ask you how many people were in church, but they will ask you when you come home. When will you come home?" And that word hit me because I realized something. For all these years, in the 32nd year of being a dad, my kids never asked me what the attendance was or anything, but they want to know that God's at work. And you see, what happens is sometimes we need to think about what it is we accomplish and realize that if we focus on the wrong thing, we accomplish the wrong thing. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with doing something good with your life. Nothing wrong with accomplishing great things, but always make sure you measure it with true success. And then I want to ask you another question, because this question at times strikes me. When you think about your own legacy, what will be your lasting legacy? Because for me, Friday night, I heard the legacy of one man. And it won't be the companies he ran or owned. It won't be the success he had. It will be the love of a child who looked into his eyes as a grown adult and said, "I could not have done this without you." That is legacy. And what I want to ask you today, as you think about lasting legacy, what will stand out to you? Will it be that you will look back and go, "You know what? I experienced something so amazing because I experienced God speaking in my heart and touching my life because I was able to really succeed." When I hug the little children of our church, one of the things I always love the most is I realize for every child we ever hug, you never know what kind of way they're going to change the world. You never know. And when you realize that, you begin to realize your life counts the most. I've got a little buddy who sits back here that I saw at Cracker Barrel a couple weeks ago. My wife and I were eating there, and ever since that moment, he's been my friend. And when I think about how special it is that we have the chance to have a lasting legacy that changes the world forever. And here's Solomon. I want you to think about this for a second. Solomon had everything the world could give him, but he didn't want what God had for him. And what I want you to see today is this. You can have the whole world, but if you don't experience what God intends for you, you miss it. You miss the best of life. And I want to show you three just very, very distinct, simple concepts that come out of these verses that I want you to take home with you today. Because when I think about the importance of this day, today we've had the opportunity to look at the future. We have looked at the future by way of a missionary who will change people's lives in another land. We've looked at the future by a young man who comes from another country who comes here to see what it's like to be in America. We have seen as a young man dedicates his heart to being a good doctor. We have seen his little children. Parents say, "We want our child to follow God." Solomon had children as well. And Solomon realized something. He missed his assignment, and it was futile to him. And if you read the entire book of Ecclesiastes, here's what you would learn. He made this statement over and over again. "I'm striving or chasing the wind. That's all I'm doing." And what I want you to see today is life is too short to miss your moment. And so I want you to see three distinctive things. The first one is this, and I want you not to forget these. May they be burned in your heart, whether you're a man or woman sitting here today. Number one, keep your appointments. Keep your appointments. I want you to look at this verse one again, and see what he says here. Notice what he says. There is an appointed time for everything. Everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. Watch this carefully. Here's what he's saying. You and I have the most awesome opportunity to change the world one person at a time, whoever it is we encounter. We just have to be willing to look inside of our own hearts and keep our appointments. And truth is, when you look at this particular verse, you realize that really what he was trying to say to his son as he wrote to him was this. Stay alert to the opportunities that God has for you. Stay alert. Be wise. It's interesting. That same man whose daughter acknowledged his contributions, as well as other people that had impacted her life, that same man also made a choice years ago to help some children in a country in Africa. And this week, he forwarded me the story of one young man who graduated from law school. And as I read that story, and then I experienced what happened on Friday, I realized something. The legacy of keeping your appointments, staying alert to opportunities, one of those important things you do. because it's there that God shapes the next generation and shapes the hearts of people. And it's not by accident, by the way, that that young man wrote his email this week. Not by accident, the dinner happened on Friday. Not by accident, we're in the Lord's house on this day. You got to stay alert. You got to stay sharp and wise. But not only do you stay alert, but you also notice one other thing about this. And that is, when he starts talking about there's a point in time for everything, you have to always remember there's only one essential ingredient in life, and it's obedience. Because, watch this, as opportunities come our way, if we're not obedient, we'll miss them, won't we? We'll miss the opportunities that God pushes before us. And so I want to ask you a question. How many opportunities have you missed that are right in front of you, right in front of you, but they didn't seem to hit you at the right time, so you know I'm not going to do that right now? And what happened was you had a chance to obey. You had a chance to reach into somebody's heart to make them realize that God loves them. In fact, when I think about that, I think about the future of our church. You realize that if we are obedient, we can change this city for God. If we're obedient, we can change the lives of people. All we have to do is recognize that God has positioned us to keep our appointments, to make sure we don't forget them. You ever had an appointment that you had on your calendar and some reason, because you're only electronic, it disappeared? Had it happen to me not too long ago. And it just went off the technology. It was disappeared somewhere out in the cyberspace. And not sure where it went, but it certainly left my mind because I depended on it to be on that phone to tell me, you got to do such and such. And all of a sudden, I realized as the person appeared, I didn't have their appointment in my mind. And I thought to myself, thank God I'm in the building on this moment in order to keep that appointment. They didn't know that they went off the screen. But I want you to see something. And I want you to not miss this. When you're obedient, you'll always have a bleep on your radar screen that says, follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and experience what I have for you. I want you to write down a verse that I want you to look at later on in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, because I want you to see something. Paul says to the Galatians, if you sow this, you'll get this. But if you sow that, you'll get that. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow the Spirit, you'll reap what's eternal. Now I want you to imagine this for a second. You're at the end of your journey. You pace through life. You've accomplished everything God intended. And all of a sudden, everybody lines up who has been impacted by you. Some line up. And they line up and say, why didn't you tell me? Some line up and say, I didn't have any idea. Others line up and say, thank you. Thank you for taking a moment. And what you discover is this very quickly, is in life, you can leave a lasting legacy, but you better sow to the Spirit. In other words, it's better to pray for somebody than to criticize them. It's better to invest in somebody than to try to take away from them. It's better to realize that we were not designed to be critics. We were designed to be compassionate people. And what I see oftentimes is it's easy for us to assess and judge instead of affirm and bless. And may it be said of us when it comes to our appointments that we may know somebody who's going in the wrong direction, but our assignment is not to judge them. Our assignment is to bless them, to help them realize there's truth that lives out by being able to be a loving person who encourages them and helps them. So first of all, keep your appointments. But look on, there's another thing I want you to see. Not only should you keep your appointments, but you also should be willing to live with the right focus. Look at verse 11. Notice what he says in his verse. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Living with the right focus. And here's what Solomon says. If you knew the whole story, you'd live a different way. In other words, if you knew everything, your perspective would not be to trust the Lord. Your perspective instead would be to just ignore because you realize it's all going to unfold a certain way. And what happens here is he makes it very clear that we all of a sudden we begin, and you'll notice he uses a word you can't miss. He set eternity in their heart, in their heart. And what is that really all about? It has to do with the whole idea of listening with your heart, not your head. Have you ever talked to somebody, and when you talk to them, you realize, man, they speak to my heart because they have a way of saying things in such a distinctive way? And I'll be honest with you, I got home from the Friday night event. I told my wife, I said, you know what? That young lady, the way she said what it was she needed to say was powerful because she conveyed it with clarity. And she conveyed it in a way that made sense. And what I want to show you today as you think about your own journey of faith, be wise enough. Be wise enough as you think about your own journey to listen with your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to what it says. Because here's what Solomon said. God's put it in you. God has put it in you. You just got to be willing to get it out. In other words, you've got to take it out of you and make sure that it carries you forward. I was visiting one of our members at Bible school last week whose husband has been through great difficulty, great physical difficulty. In fact, some people were going to unplug him, and he's still living, doing good, by the way. So be careful how quick you pull the plug. I tell my wife, you hang on that plug for a long time before you pull it. You never know, I'm going to come back out of there wake back up. But he's been able to survive some serious medical issues. And it's interesting what the wife said to me this past week. When he came out of what some of the things are going on with him, his doctor looked at her and said, I have got to go speak to my father right now because only God could do this. And what I want you to see is this. If you have the right focus, you can do the right thing. And doing the right thing means you don't center your heart on who you are. You center your heart on who he is. Because when you see who he is, when he is high and lifted up, when he is the answer to the issues of life, when he is the one who meets you at your greatest heartbreak and says, I'll be there for you, when he's the one who allows you to see that the difficulty and the heartache you're going through will carry you forward, it's at that moment that you're seeing and listening to your heart. And what Solomon was trying to say was, he's put it in our hearts. We just have to be willing to listen to it. But not only that, he not only allowed us to experience that, but there's also something he says here that you can't miss. And that is God's plan will always supersede our understanding. We'll never be able to understand everything about his plan. It's too big. It's too big. When you think about it for a moment, it's massive. In fact, I want you to write down a verse I want you to look at later on as well in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Because in that particular verse, now to him who is able to do more than we can ever ask or think. Hey, can you imagine a God who knows everything about you, who meets you at the point of every need you'll ever have and allows you to experience life the way he intended? You see, when I look at these verses, I realize something. God has a plan beyond our understanding. Who would have known on June 15th, 2013, that by the time June 15th, 2014 hit, one heart would all be together with the First Baptist Church of Norcross merged together into one family, changing the world? Who would have known that but God? Amen? Only God. And we ought to give him a hand for what he's done. Amen? We celebrate his goodness. It's an amazing story. That same man at that dinner I was telling you about Friday night, I was listening to him talk to a young man sitting next to him. And it's interesting what I heard coming out of him. And by the way, none of this that I'm acknowledging about him has to do with him. It has to do with a God who speaks to the heart of a man. I listened to him tell the story of the birth of one heart 8 years ago and the amazing hand of God at work. I wish I could have recorded it because he said it in such a way that you could tell he was speaking from his heart. And what I want you to see today is this. If you have the right focus, you can change the world. But if you have the wrong focus, you will chase the wind. Don't chase the wind. You'll never catch it. Chase the world and you'll change it. That's what Solomon was trying to say. The one final thing I want you to see. First of all, keep your appointment. Secondly, have the right focus. But look on, if you would, verse 14. Notice what else he says. As you read this verse, I know that everything God does will remain forever. And I want you to get this concept. It's the third concept I don't want you to forget, especially if you're a dad here. Be sure to accomplish what lives beyond you. Be sure to accomplish what lives beyond you. When I think about that, I think about our stories, the story of our lives. And if our story goes beyond us, we have an amazing story. If our story ends when we're gone, then it doesn't continue on, then it's of little consequence. And what I want you to see today is this, that God's intent was to do something so amazing through each one of us, that it would not be negated by our inabilities to accomplish things, but instead it would be empowered by a supernatural God who could see us as a chosen vessel worthy of honor. And I was reading just last night in the epistles. Watch this. In the epistles, in the New Testament, 70 different times, Paul alludes to this thought, to be in Christ. And let me tell you what Paul was saying. You want to accomplish great things with your story? Be in Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what we accomplish, if it does not measure up to true success? If my grandchildren don't grow up to love Jesus, will it matter how big our church is? If the children of our church don't learn to follow Jesus, if our students don't serve God, if our families don't reverence him, if our individual single adults don't realize that God has a plan, if our senior adults don't realize they need to keep living and living and living, if that's not happening, then success is not there. But praise God that we're moving forward. We're moving forward, in fact, in such a way that when you began praying, God began blessing. Here you see something that it makes it very clear in verse 14 that we have to accomplish what lives beyond us. And the way we do that is we have to be willing to take two steps. One is we got to be willing to discover His great purpose for our life. We've got to be able to say, Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me? And let me tell you, for me personally, I know as clearly as anything I've ever understood in my life what it is. And I can tell you without question, it is, number one, to impact my family in a way that when I'm gone, they can never forget how much I love God. And I want my children and my grandchildren to stand at my casket at the end of my journey and realize my father, my grandfather, and perhaps even my great-grandfather never compromised the integrity of Scripture, never compromised the witness of his heart, never jeopardized his character, and never missed God's assignment for his life. That is the part of my legacy I will not miss. And may every man have that same heartbeat, that their children would look up and see that. But not only that, I have in my heart a great desire that One Heart Church would be the most amazing place where all generations would come in. And I believe this, that the story of my life, while connected to all the other places I've been, the story of my life will be One Heart. I have no doubt. Because it's in the story of One Heart that I began to hear, like one of my sweet friends say to me, when she called out the name of Jesus, I said, this is a friend forever. And she's in this room, and her love for Jesus, even in celebrating a birthday a few weeks ago, her response to me by way of text said to me, the legacy of our lives is One Heart. And there's one other legacy that I have no doubt about, and that is to change the world by way of going into the world, touching the hearts of people, touching the hearts of children, touching the hearts of students, be it college students like Danny or be it others who are young, who are looking for an answer. And going into the world is not an option point for me. It's an essential part of discovering His great purpose. And I live for those three things. I don't attend big conventions for other people to acknowledge, hey, what we're about. Instead, I would rather find myself in the hallways of our church during Bible school watching kids love Jesus. I would rather find myself counseling somebody who's going through a crisis. I'd rather find myself preaching the gospel somewhere in the world than doing any of those things. I want to make sure our legacy lived out. One final thing you'll see here, not only should you discover your great purpose, but you ought to submit to His amazing ways. Just submit. And the word submit, you ought to underline there, because when you submit, you begin to understand that Hebrews 6:10 can be a life story for you. And it says it so powerfully in Hebrews 6. Here's what it says. God is not so unjust to forget your labor of love. And I want you to remember this. Don't forget it. That time you helped somebody who was hurting, He didn't forget it. That time when you helped somebody who was down and out step up again, He doesn't forget it. He remembers. And today as we come to our invitation time, I want you just to think about your own journey. I want you to ask yourself, why shouldn't I seize this moment? Will you seize this moment? And maybe you're here and God said to you, become a part of this family. Maybe you're here and God said, step into a relationship with me. Whatever it is that you hear, for some of you, you've been visiting for a while. It's time to say, come home. And so as we have this moment, I have the privilege of being able to say to you, there may be a man here who needs to step up as a dad and a father and say, I want to join this fellowship. Whatever it is you're hearing, we're only going to take a moment to invite you to respond. But as we pray, as God's speaking to you, I want you to be ready. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can ask you to move in a very powerful way. Lord, touch the hearts of those who are willing to say yes to you today. Lord, this invitation is an invitation for men and women, boys and girls, to say yes to the gospel, yes to the mission of our church, yes to the legacy. Lord, may it be said of us that we were best blessed by accomplishments, but measured by true success. That is the story of One Heart, and that's our story as well. If we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.